Hello, Robbie here. I'm pleased to announce my 15th, yes, 15th novel, This Book is Cursed. It's about a cursed choose-your-own-adventure novel. It is now available for pre-order wherever you buy your books. Here is a brief description.
This book is cursed. It always ends the same way. Bookseller Annie Maddox has stumbled upon the find of a lifetime. A rare book, one of one, and worth big bucks. A choose-your-own-adventure novel, written by a reclusive author before his untimely and gruesome death. After a terrible tragedy, Annie discovers the truth. This book is cursed. Choose the wrong path, and it kills you. Annie digs into the history of the book and into its secrets, because inside that curse is a tantalizing promise, one that can undo all its bloodshed. Read the book, choose the right path, and reverse the horror. Can Annie find her way through the book, or will she be cut down by its curse?
This Book is Cursed comes out March 25th, 2024, and again is available for pre-order wherever you buy your books and at the link in the show notes. I'd love for you to check it out. On to the show. Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Robbie. This episode surprised me in its not terribleness for season 23.
It didn't surprise me, Matt. I think we've been I don't know if we've maybe overhyped this episode in a few past weeks or so, but it is a breath of fresh air after last week in particular. Where it was literally one of the, it's in our among our worst episodes ever. Watching this one was just, which is a nice one. It's you're like, oh wow, Simpsons can make things that are at least watchable. That's really all I want. That's all we get. Hi guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/The Simpsons Show. Best deal in podcasting. Say it once, I'll say it again. Get you a bunch of bonus material, a bunch of we do weekly episode reviews of Bob's Burgers and King of the Hill and New Simpsons episodes. We did a bunch of Rick and Morty. If you're interested in that, we do bonus episodes going back years now. Go check it out if you haven't yet. This week's episode is a totally fun thing that Bart will never do again. I think that is a strike against this episode. Matt, is this title is very long. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, it's descriptive and it's not misleading like a lot of their episode, the episode titles can be, but it's a little unwieldy.
It is. I mean, it is referencing a essay by David Foster Wallace about going on a cruise, which is a supposedly fun thing I'll never do again. Maybe it's just because I don't like David Foster Wallace that much. That might have something to do with it. It's fine. Episode PABF12, originally aired April 29th, 2012, written by Matt Warburton, directed by Chris Clements, received a 2.8 rating with 5 million viewers. The couch gag is a repeat of the couch gag from 500 Keys, which is everything in the couch gag is represented by a word cloud. We see the word couch, we see the word Homer, that kind of thing. It's short. This is they needed time, which is a good sign when they take as much time as they possibly can to try and make an episode. I prefer that over a 2-minute bloated long intro and then an episode filled with filler. This episode doesn't have a lot of filler in it, which is like, hey, positive. Not a lot of just like stuff completely unrelated to the plot that is just there to take up time. Couch gag was that. There's no chalkboard gag. We cut right to the chase. We have guest stars Steve Coogan as Rowan Prittis, who's the cruise ship director. Has Steve Coogan been on the show before, Matt?
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It feels like he's done another. Maybe I'm just confusing him with other British comedians they've had on who has done bit parts or done like a guest spot like this, where they're kind of like important but not vital. Or like it could be, this doesn't need to be Steve Coogan. It could be any kind of.
It could be one of the actors, yes. But you know, it's interesting. It's not a guest voice that I would hate.
No, and he does a good job. Then we have Treat Williams as both himself. And then as a film character called William Sullivan, which is a strange in the credits. When you read this before you watch this episode, you're like, what does that mean? What do you mean he's William Sullivan? And you're like, oh, you watch it, you get it when you watch the episode. And I like Treat Williams. He's in lots of movies, as he'll say in this episode. This episode begins with Bart's week. We see Bart just experiencing a week set to a montage. They use a lot of montages in this episode, and that's not a bad thing. I feel like they use them economically to give us, you know, a good sense of time passing without having to take a lot of time. And this is basically just telling us Bart is bored. Bart is tired of a tedious Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day is the same. He wants fun. That's it.
It's creatively done. I will give it that.
Yeah, the song, like the song they use is "Boy from School," which makes sense. You know, Bart is trapped in school by a band called Hot Chip. If you're not familiar with them, I'm guessing Matt isn't familiar with Hot Chip. Do you know Hot Chip, Matt?
I have not. I have no idea who that is.
You might like their synthy. You probably be fine with them. But it gives us, it drops us immediately. Like, it gives us all we need to know. There's not a 45-minute long inciting incident in this thing. This is the story, right? Like, we immediately get the story. The story is Bart is bored and he wants fun. He doesn't want to waste.
Story to this or anything. This is the only thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's Bart and the family going on a cruise ship. It's a Bart episode. It starts with Bart. That in and of itself is a breath of fresh air, where it's just like, here's the story, and you're like, oh, nice, thank you. So we get this montage, and then we see Bart watching television, bored, and he sees a commercial for a cruise ship.
Stuck in a rut.
Hmm.
Ready for a change. We built heaven and made it float. Royalty Cruises, 1 week away from the everyday. Visuals and commercial, if anything, underplay the thrill of actual cruise experience.
Want! Mom, Dad, do you know there's a boat out there where nothing sucks? It's called Royalty Cruises, and Royalty Cruise specialists are standing by now.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Maybe we could afford a vacation if some big shot didn't pick up the tab for his buddies at Mr. Steak.
Again with Mr. Steak. Do you know why I go to Mr. Steak? Because at Mr. Steak, they don't get mad at me for spending a lot of money at Mr. Steak.
Well, of course they don't.
Why don't you talk to Mrs. Steak?
There is no Mrs. Steak. Who could stay married to such a man?
There is no Mrs. Steak. There's no Mrs.
There's
Steak.
No Mrs.
There's no Mrs. Steak.
I'm not sure what this is, but all right, sure.
I mean, Matt, there's a lot of Homer being obnoxious in this first act, especially, but it serves a purpose.
It does. I think it goes a little overboard in a few spots, of points where I'm just like, all right, we get it. Homer's a jerk. We don't need to continue belaboring this gag. But it always ended a little before I was legitimately frustrated. After being bored, we're frustrated.
I don't mind it. I honestly never mind it. If Homer is as long as there is a point to it, you know, like if Homer is annoying and frustrating to the family, we're not supposed to be. And in this case, like, it feels like one that Marge, that is I legitimately laughed at who would be married to Mr. Steak. that there's legitimately like good jokes in this that made me laugh. And the Homer being obnoxious, Homer's not supposed to be funny, especially in this next rant, which I didn't actually capture. But he's not supposed to be funny. He's supposed to be annoying. He's supposed to be frustrating because we're taking on basically Bart's perspective in this episode. And it is a direct juxtaposition of Homer's behavior when he's starting to be happy on the cruise ship. You know, he's enjoying his time with Marge and on vacation. So you get this contrast. It works. It is telling a story. So I don't mind Homer being annoying here or in this rant he has in a few minutes. It works. So Bart wants to go. The family can't afford it, as Marge and Homer say, because Homer spent too much money in Mr. Steak. Which
I don't know if that's, I don't know how he would have spent that much money. But also, I like seeing them get back to the fact that, oh, the Simpson family isn't rich. They can't spend money on luxurious things all the time.
Right.
Middle class family.
I mean, that's another thing the episode does right, where you're like, oh, right. They just can't go, yeah, we're going. They go, oh, we have to, you have to, like, see a little bit of struggle. And because they sacrifice a little bit to go on this trip, it makes the trip more meaningful. These are simple things. And because they do these simple things here, Matt, I'm willing to overlook maybe some of the things they don't want you to think about too much later on in the episode, which we will, we will get to those. So they're trying to afford it. Bart wants to go. He sells literally everything in his room. Lisa has a line in this. I didn't capture it, but Lisa says, we are children. We only have what our parents give us. Mm-hmm. And it's like the most brutal line. It actually made me laugh because it's so dark. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe just because we talk about goodwill a lot, man, with The Simpsons, where like they've kind of erased most of our goodwill over terrible years and years of the show being bad. When the show starts, when an episode's like, oh, this is fun, you're like, you immediately have a little bit more goodwill to an episode. You're willing to laugh a little bit more because you think like, oh, maybe this is going somewhere. Maybe this has purpose. So Bart sells everything in his room. And there's, there's a fun sight gag in here where Skinner buys a slingshot from him and then immediately cuts the actual sling. And that's a fun little toss-away sight gag that I like. I appreciate that.
What's not as fun is Mo buying Bart's baby teeth because he needs calcium. Like that's just wrong on so many levels.
I don't mind that. I wish it was a little. I don't mind actually. Like that's a Mo. I buy Mo buying children's teeth. Like, that's the thing I 100% believe. I wish they had gone a different direction. Like, he needed to conduct some sort of blood ritual, and he needed human material. I don't know. I'm just... Mo, I also believe Mo would do that. But Bart tries to sell everything, does not have enough money, and then he wakes up to find out he has enough money because everyone in the family has sacrificed. Everyone in the family has sold something to get him the cash. Get enough money for a cabin. And this I'm going to mention, there's a couple, I like, they're given, like, Lisa sells some of her rare jazz albums, and then she's like, well, I don't actually like them that, maybe I'm getting kind of tired. Like
that was a good joke. I liked that joke. She's like, yeah, just because they kind of all sound the same. Not that I don't like jazz or anything. Like that was a cute joke.
No, and Marge talking and selling some family china, and Bart's like, well, that's been in the family for like generations. And Marge's like, no, actually, my mom stole it.
that whole scene, I was just so surprised at how good it was. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, it's then and they. Had what did they sell for? What was Homer? What did Homer end up selling?
A mini pool table.
They actually sold it for him. He didn't decide to do that.
Right.
Which is fine. They have enough money, and this is the point where they're getting ready for the trip. So it serves multiple purposes because I will give it this, Matt. Like, yes, this is a little, Homer's being annoying here. He's being like obnoxious. He's complaining about how he doesn't actually get to be a dad on vacation. Because he doesn't enjoy his vacation because he's too busy being a dad. He's too busy making sure the kids are okay. Got to do this, got to do that. And that's accurate. So I will cut him some slack. It's not, this feels more realistic of Homer. Like he shouldn't say these things, but it's not necessarily.
That's true, but he shouldn't say
it. Yeah, exactly. It's true, but he shouldn't say it. But it again, serves to juxtapose the fun they're going to have on this cruise eventually, and the fact that he's expecting to have a bad time. But they're achieving multiple things at once. They are having Homer like complain about having to be a dad on vacation while they're moving the story along. They're packing, they're driving to the port. Like we're not just sitting and watching Homer talk, which is a thing that we've had to sit through with multiple episodes this season, where Homer's being obnoxious for no reason, and they're not moving. the story anywhere. They're not putting characters from A to B. It's just there because they wanted Homer to talk. You know, this is achieving something. Homer rants. They are getting to the port, and then they get there. And then we get a tease here where we think it's going to be bad news, but then it turns into great news.
Sorry, sir, but your cruise is overbooked.
What?
I can offer you a cabin on our sugar-free fitness cruise.
Welcome to 8 days and 7 nights of push-ups and kale.
Well, Mr. Never Wrong was bright again. Family vacations always suck. I called it. Called it.
Homer, this is bad for you, too.
Worth it to be right. Worth it to be right.
Wait a minute. I can get you back on your original ship, but in a different cabin.
Upgrade!
Yay! I'm sorry. There's been a mistake. This isn't your cabin.
No. Double upgrade!
Hooray!
Oh, I knew it. It was all a dream.
No, honey, you just passed out when you saw the private bedroom in our triple upgrade.
I actually did it. A perfect vacation.
We're at the end, Matt. I just want to say this. Uh-huh. We're at the end of Act 1. The story has started. We are in the story.
We're in the story already.
We're in it. It's not even like, oh, we're getting to the story. No, we've already started because they've already, and like, I think people get confused sometimes about like, when did the story start? Mm-hmm. This story started really right from the get-go because we are introduced to the themes of the episode right away. There's nothing in this episode that isn't about the story, even the stuff that seems like it's not, because Bart being bored and Homer ranting and Bart trying to get the money for this vacation, that's all thematically connected to everything that happens on the ship. It's not just a bunch of random crap and then we're on the ship and now the story started. No.
Right.
Thematically, we've already introduced all the ideas that we're going to be tackling around in this whole episode, which is another one. Like, it's not like... In the golden years, The Simpsons did this every episode. So it's not...
No.
They, or most of them. Most of the golden year episodes, because great episodes, they did it every time. So you get spoiled by it. But lately, they don't do it at all. So this is like, wow. They were... It's competent. And that's like what I want to get to. It's like, this is just... This is what every episode should be. Where it's like... You introduce everything you're doing right away, and then when you're at the story, you're actually already in it. You've been in it from the beginning. But it's not a very long first act, but we're there. 6 minutes and 47 seconds.
We are. And now moving on, we're on to Act 2. And Act 2 is pretty fun and action-packed. We start out with a cruise intro video telling the family about the cruise.
You'll never guess how many bath towels they gave us. Enough!
And there's a DVD library of movies that haven't been released yet. Whoa. Whoa.
Greetings, cruisers. I'm your cruise director, Rowan Pridis. And welcome aboard the Royalty Valhalla, where the only rule is always have fun. Your every need will be catered to from our Toddlers Club to Condolences, our award-winning luxury morgue. Your enjoyment pays my salary, so in a sense, each of you is my boss. And as my boss, I'd like to ask you for a week of vacation. A week I will spend here, on this cruise, performing my normal duties as cruise director. That's how much I love my job. Bon voyage.
Whoa, a fun schedule. There's so much to do. Laser tag, water slide, bobsled. Oh, ice cream snowball fight starts in 5 minutes.
Homie, we actually have the cabin all to ourselves.
Sex on a family vacation? I never thought such a thing was possible. And the ocean will do all of the work.
Whoa, whoa.
Ocean sex rules!
Yes, as you can see, ocean sex rules.
No, go to hell, land sex, man.
No, go to hell, land sex. Land sex is still fine, but ocean sex...
No, you go to hell, land sex.
Anyway, so everyone is having fun here. Marge and Homer get separation from the kids. Bart gets to go do all the fun stuff. We see Lisa gets intelligent playtime. She goes to the kid zone, but apparently they have flagged Lisa Simpson as getting to the kid zone elite, where she meets a whole bunch of incredibly diverse other kids. She makes the comment that, oh, it's like I'm on a PBS kids show, which, yeah, okay, I get it. That's it's not the cleverest show the Simpsons have ever done, but, Matt, you know, I'll give them credit for that.
I don't know what this says about me, but there is, this might be the thing I laughed at the hardest in this episode, where
the PBS kid thing.
No. Oh. A kid in a wheelchair, motorized wheelchair, comes up, and Lisa goes, and like she's happy, like, oh wow, you know, we have a kid in a wheelchair. They, you know, they're, oh, it's like, oh, that we, the cruise ship's accessible, like that kind of thing. And then a second kid in a wheelchair comes up, and Lisa goes, there's two, and she's so happy about it.
That's pretty great.
It felt, there's like multiple layers of things happening. Like it's obviously we have Lisa, the character, who's excited to see two kids in a wheelchair, but there's also like this weird meta thing going on where Lisa, like they have like, oh, we're, look, all this representation we're having on the show or something. And Lisa's also excited about that, even though she's a character on the show. I don't know, but I laughed because it's just so simple. Like there's two, she's so excited to have two kids. And like, it's also kind of, again, some of the Lisa jokes in this are like secretly kind of dark jokes. Cause she's excited. Excited to see kids in wheelchairs. And you're like, well, honestly, obviously we don't want anyone to have to use a wheelchair, but I guess it's good that they can. Right. They aren't excluding and obviously it's very realistic. There's many people who have to use wheelchairs. So I just thought it was very funny, and I don't know. I enjoyed this a lot. I don't know, Matt. Maybe I don't know. I don't think this episode is like, I know I've been very glowing about this episode so far, and I don't think this episode is like all timer or anything.
No, but compared to all the seasons around it, it is just head and shoulders above.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. When we're like, it's like we haven't eaten real food in like months. And then someone gave us a cheeseburger, and we're like, wow, man, cheeseburgers are so good. It's that kind of thing. I think that's what it feels like, where you're like, oh, wow, the Simpsons, why can I get a cheeseburger every week? Can I have spaghetti every week? No, you get gruel every week. Okay.
And now we're like, oh, you get the basic spaghetti that exists. And like, oh, this is amazing. Thank you.
This is so good. Wow, look, there's a meatball in here. Wow, that's so good.
So, yes, we also get a fun montage of Bart in a really interesting animation style that I liked, where he is going through and just do all the fun activities. But in a, Robbie, do you know the animation style? Like, is there a name for this, or is it just a particularly different one?
I don't know, Matt. It is interesting. I think what they're trying to give us, it feels like, I don't know exactly what the reference is. It feels sort of like old Rocky and Bullwinkle, almost. Like that kind of...
It does kind of seem like that. It was very angular, there are curves.
And simple. I think ultimately what they're going for is like Bart just having childlike fun. Like just having... It was indulging in like pure like inner child enjoyment of things. Like, again... this episode's all about Bart wanting to have fun experiences and not have any dullness and no tedium. He doesn't want to drudge through life. He doesn't want any of that. He just wants all highs, no lows. And
God forbid, no lows at all.
No lows, no, not even mediums. Just wants all highs. And I feel like this is like, you know, and as a kid, that's what you want, right? That you want just all candy all the time. And I feel like because you're with this art style, that is what this montage, that's what they're trying to sell us. Like, it's like, oh, Bart is just like transformed into the ultimate kid experience. It's just fun. There's nothing else going on. And as soon as something's over, he's doing the next thing. It's all fun.
Indeed. But unfortunately for Bart, it will end as made just absolutely clear by that night at dinner, or one night in the middle of the week at dinner, we get a song from Rowan Pridis about how, oh, it's the middle of the week and this week is over. You're going to be so sad. Like, who would sing this horrific song? I have to ask. Like, this is so mean. I didn't capture it because it's kind of long and it's basically him just saying over and over again, oh, this week is going to end. You're going to go back to your boring lives and you're going to hate it. It is a good song, though.
I mean, just I feel like I don't think it's I mean, it's a little exaggerated, Matt. I will say it. Like, but I think it's it. I think this is, again, purposeful because one, you're every time you go, I don't know, like it feels like a lot of broad vacation marketing, which is what you get with cruise ships and trips to Vegas. It feels very much like, yeah, this is your chance. Indulge. Go crazy. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's the same kind of idea where it's like, oh yeah, we're halfway. You're halfway done. Go crazy. Like, you're not going to get another chance. And obviously, a lot of the marketing for this kind of thing is not as explicit as this, where you have literally have the cruise director be like, you're going to be bored again in 3 days. You're going to hate back to your hateful life. But that I think it is, it's just over the top to deliver that message. Like, you know, and then you look at, you know, I don't know, a lot of vacation marketing is like this. It's like, hey, go crazy. You're going to, don't you hate your life? And you're like, well.
Yeah, but the whole point is they don't remind you while you're doing it. Oh, but this is going to end soon.
They don't explicitly remind you, Matt. That's what I think this song is explicit in that fact, but they do implicitly remind you by saying, while you're here, do everything. You know, like it feels like, I don't know, I've gone on vacation. It feels like sometimes it's like, well, yeah, you're here for 3 days. You have this, do all the things. And you're like, okay, I know, but I think just by adding that explicit part of it, that's what satire does. That's what satire does. Satire goes over the top. It's being going to be absurd. It's going to be pointed. It's going to be in your face. So I don't like this episode has a little bit of it. It's not it's mostly about Bart's journey. This episode is largely just about Bart, but there is a little bit of vacation cruise ship satire stuff going on in this.
A little bit. Honestly, until the whole virus plot kicks in, the cruise ship looks really fun. Everyone seems to be super happy and be having a great time. They don't really go into the bad parts, I suppose.
No. I mean, it's only a week-long cruise, so it's not crazy, like, months of cruise. So, which, you know, you can find stories about what happens when people die on cruise ships and I think because this episode, people pointed this episode out because it talks about, you know, Bart fakes a pandemic basically he fakes the idea that the fact that one has happened. So it made me immediately think about all those poor ships that were cut off in the midst of the pandemic. So which are, there are horror stories from those ships. So I don't, I mean, we'll get, when we get to the part of the episode where everything falls apart in the next act, we can talk about it.
Indeed we will. It's going to be a little on the rough side.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, at this point, Bart has a panic attack. He starts thinking about, oh man, this is almost over. I'm going to have to go back to my normal life after this. It's going to be terrible. What do I do? We see his plot begin to form.
The song's right. No matter how much fun I cram into this cruise, it only lasts a week. Then it's back to mom and dad fighting, Lisa moping, homework bullies, and a lunch bag sandwich soggy with the sweat of a juice box. After this cruise, for the rest of my life, it's all downhill. Why can't vacation last forever? I've got to do something.
That bit at the end there with the discontinuity is where I clipped out a long fast forward of Bart looking at in a hospital bed, ancient sign, and that the only fun thing he ever did was this cruise. And then he dies, and Nelson laughs at him, and then also proceeds to die. It's not that great.
I don't mind it, Matt. I mean, you need this bit here because they do a callback at the very end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have it here. And, I mean, it is... I mean, that's the thing. He's a 10-year-old boy. His visions are going to be incredibly dramatic and ridiculous.
Fair.
They're not going to be... it's not like... That's not actually what Bart's in old age is going to be like. But when you're 10... in ultra dramatic, like that's what you see. You see, oh, I'm gonna be dead, I'm gonna be an old man, and I'm gonna die in my bed, and the only thing I'm ever gonna have done in my life is this. To be fair, he does picture like himself like just growing up and being tedious, like that, like him having
a bunch of pictures of him just with his arms slung over a chair, looking like, oh, bored middle school, bored high school, bored life, bored with a baby, dead.
Which, that's not crazy. I mean, what's Homer's life?
Well, I mean, we're talking about actual Homer who's had all these crazy adventures.
No, Matt, that's what I mean. But, you know, back when the show was reasonable. It's fine. I like it. It's fine.
It is. It's good. It definitely shows where Bart's mind is, as Robbie pointed out. So we then get to see Bart start to scheme. Also, during that clip, there's a bit where it has a cruise schedule on a chalkboard in the background as Bart is making these plans and talking. You may hear some people talking in the background. It's like a deck soliloquies, 7:30 p.m. or whatever. And I thought that was a good cruise joke. It's like they schedule everything, even characters having, you know, life altering soliloquies about what's going on in their lives on the deck. Like there's a whole bunch of other people doing the exact same thing Bart was. That was cute.
Mm-hmm. They're all having existential crisis at the same time, Matt.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you. Existential crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so Bart starts to scheme. We see Homer and Marge getting rip-roaringly drunk, but they're so drunk they have purple tongues.
Accurate. Cruise ship experience. Yep.
If you're an adult on a cruise ship, why else go on a cruise?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're there for. Drink.
So Lisa is having fun, but immediately an alarm goes off and there's an announcement about the virus. It's real short, but it's basically a military guy in a bunker saying, oh, you know, all ships at sea need to stay at sea because there's a terrible virus. It's going to kind of go in and out with that whole fake film, or not film, but fake TV broadcast, snowing in and snowing out. So only the most important bits are conveyed. Everyone on the ship goes crazy immediately and loses their mind because obviously this is from before the pandemic, so we didn't have any experience with, you know, worldwide pandemics. But we as viewers see, oh, it's just Bart. He has snuck into the empty control room, hooked up a portable DVD player to the video system, and is playing from a DVD they had a joke about earlier, the Pandora Strain. Bart then destroys the radio by pouring hot fudge in it. There's a long rant in me about how completely inaccurate any of this has been as someone who has worked on a cruise ship, but I'm going to let it pass because we go to a commercial and it gets us to where we need to be with the plot.
I think it's not bad to mention it, Matt, because I feel like it does bring up an important stuff. We talk about this all the time, about them, you know, the Simpsons, and they've done this again. They did this in the golden years. Okay. They did this stuff all the time, where it doesn't match the real world or anything close to a real world, but we give them the benefit of the doubt because we're enjoying the episode. So, you're enjoying where this episode's going. You enjoy what it's talking about. You're having fun times. So you're like, I know we didn't get any bit. Like I would like a bit where we say, at least see Bart like sneak past somebody. I think that that would have satisfied me. Really,
he makes up something. Oh, there's an emergency or something. The whole crew needs to get somewhere because, like, first of all of this stuff is spread way out over. As somebody who has worked on the screens on cruise ships, it's down in a bunker on like deck 6 where no one has access to, and finding where to plug something in to get it on the board is practically impossible. Also, the communications equipment has multiple backups.
Yeah, I would say that's the thing that I'd be like. There's multiple fail safes on radio. Like you have thousands of people on these ships. You want to have as many possible lines of communication as possible.
And if they broke down, they would immediately go, "Huh, I wonder why it's broke down." And see, oh, why is there hot fudge in here? Could somebody have possibly sabotaged this? No, let's not think about that.
No, I mean they just don't have time. Matt, I feel like that's the thing in this episode. They just don't have time. And I will say this. This is the weakest thing in this entire episode. They have to do this to make this story work. And I go, okay. That's really what it is. It's like, I don't love it, but I go, okay. Because everything else in this episode is it is rooted in character. It is rooted in Bart's arc and his realizations about the what he's doing. So I don't really care if this isn't realistic. And this is in direct contrast to most of the episodes and we've done in the past years, is like, it's full of nonsense like this. And we go and we get tired of it and hate it because it's there's nothing else. There's nothing on the other side of it where you're like, oh, well, they did it because they wanted to get to a better kind of character arc. They wanted to tell the story. And this is how they tell that story. And it's the most efficient way. And maybe it's not great, but it's the best they could do. But because I'm invested in the story and I'm having a good time, I go, eh, okay. I go, eh, okay. I don't mind it. I go, okay, it's fine. Yeah, exactly.
So after Bart's, you know, fakery, we go to a commercial and move on to Act 3.
At 14 minutes and 8 seconds, feels like I've said, I know I've said at 14 minutes and 8 seconds before, Matt. It feels like that's a common...
a common breakpoint.
Yeah, it feels like it. We have, I like this, Matt. I really like this. We come back from commercial and we aren't the next day of this cruise ship shut down. We are 12 days later, nearly 2 weeks later, and the cruise ship.
Well, we're 12 days into the cruise, so.
Is that what that is? I thought it was 12 days later.
I thought he said 12 days. Our cruise is day 12, but maybe he said day 12 after the virus. I don't know.
Whatever. But time jump. That's really all I care about. Time jump, where we're not just like, we're not laboriously watching everything collapse. We just like, oh, well, now everything's bad because we've been cut off from society. The cruise ship is in chaos.
Good morning, everyone, as we greet a sunny day 12 after virus. While the world deals with their pandemic, we're having a fundemic under the capable hands of our Norwegian Captain Svalbard.
I always knew mankind's hubris would doom us all.
Yeah, he spoke of it often.
Once we reach our exciting and hopefully virus-free destination, Romantic Antarctica, our activities will include building shelter, hunting for food, and starting civilization anew. While supplies may be running a little low, not to worry, as today's delicious buffet features fresh seagull and hull-scraped barnacles. In the Chuckles Comedy Club, we have Joey Scazzazone with his no longer observational take on our pre-virus lives.
Hey, so what's the deal with how many Starbucks there used to be, huh? I don't know why that bothered me so much. Hug your kids.
I really like this hacky comedian.
Isn't it great? He's just like, oh, I used to have all these takes on things, and now they just don't matter anymore. Like the kids.
I like this hacky comedian collapsing, where he's like, I don't know, you run into cruise ship entertainers, so not always necessarily the top tier comedians, and you're like, oh, he has jokes about Starbucks. No, who cares? What does it matter? And it's so day 12 after virus. We have we get a montage of the ship and everything's falling apart. And this is a little bit over the
top.
It's
a little extreme, but the whole running out of food thing. Yeah, that would actually happen. There's a lot of people on a cruise ship and they have just enough food for maybe one or two extra days. After that, you're on your own.
And after reading some of those accounts of what happened on those ships when COVID hit some ships and they were like putting people in quarantines and they were keeping everyone from getting off the ships and stuff like that. You're like, it was very bad. People were acting like crazy people. So I give this a lot more lenience after you're like, oh, real life is terrible. Like we can, people were losing their minds. But we have lifeguard is becomes a cult leader, which I like that a lot.
That is hilarious. Yes.
Basically, everything is falling apart. No one is enjoying themselves anymore, except for Bart. And I really like the fact that they kind of changed everyone's character. Like, everyone else's character design is a little worn down. It's a little tweaked, a little tired. But Bart still dresses nice and is still looking fresh because he's still on the cruise ship. He's in this, like, illusion he's built for himself. Like,
he's in a different mindset. And Bart is this way because he knows it's not true. He's not worrying about the virus back home. Everyone else is because they don't know the truth.
Exactly. And he's like, oh, well, I'm on the ship still. Don't have to go back to reality. Still on the ship. Otherwise, I'd be back at school. Everyone is hating this except for Bart. And Bart's like, why is no one else having fun? We're on the ship. It's fun. And it's this, like, he's deluding himself. Like, no one else is enjoying this. One, because they don't know. And two, because there is an element of like, well, if you take away all the everything else from the ship, it's no longer a fun time. It's just a now you're trapped somewhere that's not your house. And I think Bart, it communicates the idea very, very well that it's nothing to do with fun at this point. It's more about going back to a expectation of your normal life, which is what Bart is honestly been having worry and anxiety about. There's a lot happening here, but it's all like just experiential montages of Bart on the ship talking to Marge and Homer, talking to Lisa. We see other things on the ship happening, things like that. We cut directly after this kind of, it's not quite a montage, but it's almost a montage of basically Bart coming in to finding out the family has discovered his lie.
Can't anybody enjoy their forever vacation? Check it out. The gallery was going to throw these paintings overboard like they were worthless garbage.
Bart, glad you're here. We're all going to watch a movie together.
Yeah, a movie. It is about time you guys started having some fun.
Humanity must endure.
General, it's worse than we thought. The virus is getting bigger.
Bart, how could you?
Gotta go.
Man, I kicked butt in the gladiator arena today. I won the last package of hot dogs on the ship, but I got robbed by marauders on the way home.
There is no virus. Bart faked the whole thing with a DVD. A direct-to-video DVD.
That's another line I like, Matt. A direct-to-video DVD. Like, even Marge is like, this wasn't even a theatrical release. Which makes sense, because honestly, if it was theatrical, people would know. They would have seen the movie. But this is like, and they planned this earlier. You saw the DVD right very, very beginning of this. You see Bart discover what it's doing, and now you see the family discover that Bart planned all of this. And Bart still doesn't understand why. Like, he's like, oh yeah, he's upset. He understands why Marge is upset because he lied. He still doesn't understand, like, why would you be upset that I kept us on the ship? Like, obviously, we should stay on the ship. It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, that's why.
I mean, at this point, Matt, Bart is deluded. There's no, obviously, it's nothing. He's like, he's still, again, rebelling against going back to, quote unquote, his normal life. We have a very short bit in between, and then we cut to Marge and Bart at basic like cruise court. They've set up this impromptu court system on the cruise ship where the cruise director, where Rowan Prentice is the judge, and Marge.
Yeah, also, it seems like they're really big on making him out to be the person in charge. The cruise director is actually a really low level position, but I guess he just sounds important.
I mean, who are you to argue, Matt, in this post order okay, society?
You're right. In the post virus society, maybe that's different, but like on an actual cruise ship,
he might have staged a coup d'etat. He might be in charge now. I mean, you don't know. Like maybe he was, like, Rowan seems like a cool guy. Maybe people really like him, and he immediately went, "I'm in charge." And everyone went, "Okay, nothing else, Matt." Like, there's no law anymore, right? Right.
I mean, that's fair.
So Marge basically marches Bart to this court in front of this cruise director and makes him tell the truth.
Excuse me, Cruise Director Prentice. My son has something to tell you.
Speak, passenger. Son of passenger.
It was all a hoax. There's no virus.
But the warning from the general!
That was just Treat Williams in a virus movie.
You know, I thought that general looked familiar.
What? I'm in a lot of movies.
I take back everything I said to you that night in the Dolphin Lab.
All that happened is we got a little extra vacation. Is that so bad?
I think I ate people meat.
Ooh.
I know my son did a terrible thing, but there's a chapel on this ship, and in that chapel there's a book, and it says, "Judge not, lest ye..." No.
After this, I'll be lucky to get work on a clothing-optional Jimmy Buffett cruise.
What about the duty-free stuff we bought?
Never have fun.
My booze and cologne!
The Homer drinking the booze and putting on the cologne goes on for a little too long.
Yeah, probably. It's not. I don't mind it too much. We haven't really got aside from that Ray at the very beginning, Matt. Homer really isn't that bad in this episode. Everything else in this is like is, you know, I feel like the right amount of time. I think this bit here at the end is like, yeah, you're like maybe a couple seconds you can turn off. I don't mind that much. But basically, the family has been dumped off at Antarctica because I guess they were heading there anyway to make a new life that was free of this virus that doesn't exist anymore. But they end up dropping the family off at Antarctica and then leaving. We go to our final commercial at 19 minutes and 2 seconds.
The last act is very short. Because there's not a whole lot to do. The family is wandering through Antarctica, and everyone is upset at Bart. And Bart tries to explain himself.
That's fair. Sorry. I deserve it. Ow! That one really hurt. Sorry, sweetie. I just needed to get that out of my system.
This stupid prank is the most selfish thing you've ever done.
I wasn't being selfish. I did it for you guys, too. Lisa, you made friends with kids just like you. Mom and Dad, you are more happy and in love than I ever saw you.
It was the best week of all of our lives, and I wanted it to last forever.
Joke on my numb blue hands!
Homer's hands cannot be used to strangle, which he's attempting to do because they are frozen solid. So Homer doesn't have any hands anymore. Every episode going forward, let's keep an eye out for that.
They're fine, Matt. They're fine.
Totally fine. The family is mad at Bart, obviously, but then Lisa spots a penguin colony just over the hill, and they have a good conversation about how the penguins have a life. Like, Lisa says, oh, you can see the penguins. You can see the babies. You can see the juveniles. You can see them growing up and having their own babies. And Bart says, who cares? It's a boring life, whatever. But then Lisa points out that, look, they're just living their lives and they have fun where they can, and points out the penguins sliding down their bellies, down, you know, hills and stuff to get into the water, because it's what penguins do. They have fun on occasion. And the entire family tries to get Bart to realize you have to have fun where you can. Life can't all be fun all the time. Like, not yet. Maybe in, you know, 1,000 years when we have, you know, computers and robots taking care of every little thing, it'll be fun all the time, but not right now. So the family takes off. Bart falls over the edge and slides down on his belly and has a really great time. The entire family ends up following him down because, hey, that looks like a lot of fun. It looks like an ice slide. That looks rad. And then we end the episode with another flash forward. This time, Bart is in bed as an old man and has lots of pictures of fun stuff that he did by himself and with his family. And he's like, oh, I need to concentrate on the times I did have fun, not on all the times I wasn't able to have fun. And that's how we end the episode.
And if you're wondering how the family got out away from Antarctica,
obviously it was Mo.
Mo did it. Mo saved them. My honest answer is probably the cruise ship realized they couldn't abandon people on Antarctica and went and picked them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the answer. Or, you know,
I would sure hope so. But I mean, also there are quite a few settlements around Antarctica. I don't know about walking to them. Because, again, Antarctica are real cold, and they were in their cruise attire. I don't know why they were going to Antarctica when I'm sure no one on the ship had, you know, cold weather gear. But, sure.
Again, that is honestly less of a deal breaker, Matt, when the rest of the episode is doing... And Bart's, like, earnest plea here about... And Lisa, their conversation about, like, having fun and these penguins. And you're, like... the cut to Bart as an old man, and now he's just having you have the pictures of him sledding with his own kids, even, like, it's about, you know, right, capturing and enjoying those moments, being present for those moments where you are having fun, or finding fun even in moments that are maybe you think would be tedious or drudgery. It's very, like, relevant. This episode is over 10 years old at this point. It's still obviously very relevant today. And it's relevant to me, where I often think of, like, there was a large part of my life where I want to rush through everything because I just want to get to the next thing. And you have to sometimes, you know, be present in the moment you're in and appreciate it. Appreciate the simple pleasures in life. Appreciate the good things happening to you. Appreciate the fun you're having on any average day. Not just, oh, I'm going on a trip in 3 months. That's when I'm going to have fun. Like, no, you can have fun every day. You can appreciate those moments every day where you're feeling nice, you're feeling comfortable, you're feeling pleasure in any kind. And that's what this episode's really about. And Matt, I can't say this hard enough. It's about something. I don't like
it. Is. It's about a full story, and it has a message at the end. And it's a message that, resonates with, you know, regular everyday experience of life.
And I think this episode is good. I don't think it's great. I feel like it has the two giant problems where, like, you're like, well, that's not how cruise ships work. And also, like, they are just abandoned in Antarctica at the end of the episode, and we don't see how they got away. And you're like, that's kind of important. But I don't care, because this episode is about something. It's about something the entire time. It's about that one thing the entire time. It's about Bart the entire time. It has a beginning, a middle, and mostly an ending. I think that jump cut to old Bart does a lot of work. I will say, like, it just is like, it doesn't say explicitly how they got out from Antarctica, but it is an ending. It is saying they got away, because obviously Bart's an old man in a hospital bed somewhere. He made it, you know, he had a life. So there's that. I think this episode is good. I don't think that's, this is all I want. Can we just do this every episode, Matt?
No, Robbie, no, because you got to think of good jokes that apply to the material. And sometimes it's just easier to come up with other jokes and insert them in episodes that where they don't fit, because otherwise you'd have to think about new jokes. And that's a lot of work.
Can we try? No. Okay. Considering the Lady Gaga episode is still to come this season.
Yeah.
They clearly don't. they clearly do not take it to heart and try super hard in every episode. But this is definitely a highlight. Certainly season 23 and of the last 5 years of the show, probably. Because it does the simple things that I really want in a Simpsons episode. It's funny. And it has a character-based story about Bart and trying to figure out, you know, about things about life. It's not complicated. It does a good job at it. We'll rank it at the end of the show. We can move on to our next segment. It is time.
Robbie, I have to ask, is this episode broken?
No, Matt, no.
It's not broken.
No, not at all. I guess that's why I just went, I'm like, we don't have to...
Obviously, it's not broken. It's the one good episode.
It's definitely not broken. No, not at all. Like, yeah, it falls. It's not perfect. Like we've said, it's not great. It's not like it's hop. I don't know. We're going to get there in the ranking, and I'm really interested to see where it goes. But it's not a great episode of The Simpsons. It has too many problems. It's still a little... There's weird things here and there in it that I think... aren't necessarily fixable, really, not unless you rewrite the entire episode, which I don't think you should do, honestly. I feel like that's the thing. I don't mind flaws. I don't mind, like, things you're like, it doesn't work. Because, largely, the episode still is fun and enjoyable as a whole. That's all I ask. I don't really need it to be perfect. But it's not broken. Certainly not. I mean, Matt, it feels like the jump from last week's episode... where we have Bart groomed by a teenage girl, to this episode, where it treats Bart like a normal human boy who's, like, struggling with a real thing. I don't know how the same people made both those episodes. I don't know how that happened. And they're right next to each other. They're both Bart episodes. One is one of the worst ones we've ever seen, and this is a stark difference in quality. I don't understand it. I don't know how you do it, but it happened.
Indeed.
We can now. Episode's not broken. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments in the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments in the newsgroup is where I ask our patrons over there on patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow to leave their thoughts and reviews about an episode. If you want to join in, support us at any level, you can do that. From Tim, wow, that was quite the gear shift from the prior week. Kind of surprised the list of events that the Simpsons predicted did not include the pandemic. Certainly, this episode has a lot of characteristics that reminded me of this time of year in 2020. So the actual plot, this is definitely something reminiscent of the golden years. It made sense, had some creativity, actually made me like the family. Imagine that. So how to rank this? The last top 100 entry is the President wore pearls from eight exclamation point seasons before, which, wow, it's been 8 seasons since we cracked the top 100, Matt.
Oh boy. Wow.
That 2003 effort had more laughs, but a totally fun thing has better boat scenes than the Manson family. So number 99 is my prediction and obviously canon. Number 99, that's an interesting number. From Elliot. I had a lot of fun with this episode. Not quite as good as I remember, but still light years above anything from the last few years. Plot works quite well, moves along quickly. Jerk Homer gets a very brief appearance at the start, but goes away. Kanan, and I agree with Tim. This has to hit the top 100, even if it's right at the top. From Dara. Remember years back, people writing in about this episode, calling a throwback to the golden era. I enjoyed it. It was more chuckles instead of laughs. The ending was also as lame. Like, how did they survive Antarctica? I'll just assume they were rescued by Mo. In a season of misery, this episode definitely stands out, but the Book Job, Holidays of Future Past, and Stop and Smell the Roosevelts are all better, in my opinion. Fourth best episode of season 23, just edging out the Food Wife. We'll see. From Derek, I'm really sorry to bring the tone down, because I remember you did a bonus review on this episode. I really liked it, but I feel it. I may as well be honest. That's all we ask, Derek. I just don't see it. I feel this is as antithetical to The Simpsons as any other zombie episode. Where's the satire, the cynicism of industry so inherent to the series? Gone are the days of Camp Krusty and the like. This displays an extended ad for the cruise industry, the writer seeming eyeing a free trip or something. It's especially egregious that the title refers to an article that was in fact the teardown of the insidious side of the cruise industry. What's here isn't actually funny at all and nonsensical. Two familiar aspects of modern Simpsons. I mean, that's still too generic sitcom dialogue is just terrible. The family all just waiting dutifully for each member to spout their joke line of what they gave up to pay for the cruise. It's a particularly hacktacular scene. It all ends in expected nonsense in Antarctica. Just like last week, they have no idea what to do with Bart as a 10-year-old. His experience ennui in his life, as if we're given no reason as why he's feeling like this. These feelings would be better explored through adult characters like Marge and Homer. Even the vagueness surrounding Lisa's sadness and moaning Lisa made sense, as she's an established deep thinker with emotions more profound and complex than that of a typical 8-year-old. Bart is a stereotypical rambunctious 10-year-old, and this storyline is ill-fitting. It doesn't ring true for me at all. At the end of the day, though, if you enjoy it, bloody enjoy it and run with it. Life's hard enough.
I will agree with Derek on this one. Like, I miss the satirization, the cuttingness of it, but quite frankly, in season 23, I'm willing to take this.
I think here's the thing. I come away like, yeah, I'm taking it, Matt. Like, that's part of it. I just want something halfway decent. But it's also, and I was kind of leaning in this direction anyway, but after watching, we did a bonus episode on our Patreon about a YouTube video essay from, I can't remember the creator's name, Matt, but The Simpsons is Good Again. I can't remember his name, Matt. Mm-hmm. Super Eyepatch Wolf. Thank you. I looked it up. Super Eyepatch Wolf did a YouTube video essay, and we did a Patreon bonus episode about it, discussing his, it's a really good essay. You should watch it. If you're listening to this, you would enjoy it. But he's basically, like, the past few seasons, season 34 and 35, he's like, oh, The Simpsons is good again. He's not saying The Simpsons, and in the essay he discusses, like, I'm not saying The Simpsons is as good as the golden years, or it's even is the golden years again, which I think, you know, we jump to that whenever there's another good Simpsons episode after, you know, season 10, we're always like, oh, it's like the golden era. And the problem is, it's never going to be that again. It's not going to happen. And you can't look for The Simpsons to try and be that show ever again. You have to look at it and see, in a vacuum, is this episode good? Is this episode doing anything, right? Doing something that you enjoy, even. Is it funny? Is it delivering a good character story? Is it telling the story in a novel way, even, like, which The Simpsons have done in the past few seasons, modern day, 34 and 35, where they do episodes with, like, weird perspectives. They talk about Sirius Flanders, which was a two-parter that kind of aped, like, Fargo and other prestige television stuff, where it's, like, starkly violent and dramatic and very different from The Simpsons. it's good, but it's not, quote unquote, The Simpsons. Or Matt, that episode where Homer and Marge are in the wild. And
yes.
They nearly get killed. And you have like Homer defending her to the death. Also, not The Simpsons, really. It's really like strange episode, but very, very good. That's what I think about when I watch this. I'm like, it's not like super, I don't know. It doesn't feel as like an advertisement for the cruise industry when by the end of this episode, the cruise ship is a terrible place. And
right.
They're trying people, for like stealing tomatoes or whatever it was. I don't feel like it's advertising the cruise ship industry. But it's also like that. Yeah, it probably would do something like that in the golden era of The Simpsons, but that's not coming back. You got to wave goodbye to it. And that's what I say. Like, this is what I asked for, is like, it's good. It tries. It's telling a story. And to be fair, maybe I am more of a Lisa guy myself, but I was also a 10-year-old boy at one point, Eric. And as a 10-year-old boy, I certainly suffered from, I had moments like this. You know, you're not just because you're in elementary school, and regardless of your intelligence, does not mean you don't feel ennui. You don't feel the pointlessness of what you're doing, even.
Especially when you're in school, especially when you're a kid in school, it feels like every day is the same. And like school is super boring. You're just tired of, and you want to just go have some fun. And a lot of days you don't get to have fun because both your parents work, they get home late. All they want to do when they get home is make you dinner and get you into bed because they're exhausted from their lives. Like if you do that week after week, that can kind of suck.
Yeah, so I don't mind that. And, like, you could tell the story with anybody, honestly. I don't feel like this is exclusive to any of the characters. Mostly it's just about not putting too much of an onerous burden on the show at all to be any one thing, as long as it's entertaining you. Your expectations, I think a lot of people don't realize this, not just with The Simpsons, but with art in general, your expectations weigh so heavy on what you expect something to be. If you're wanting, it has to be as good as Golden Year Simpsons for me to enjoy it, well, you're not going to like it because it's not going to be as good. They just aren't going to do that anymore, at least not on a regular basis. And I feel like this is not as good as the Golden Years, but is way better than last week. And I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't regularly. Here's the other thing I think. I don't regularly watch Golden Years stuff right now. I'm not regularly like rewatching Cape Fear or something, my favorite episodes. Me and Matt, we digest so much Simpsons on a weekly basis. Like I get a lot of Simpsons. I don't need more Simpsons in my life, even if it's the best of it. So I'm not like directly comparing the two very often. It's all in my memory. I'm happy with like a McDonald's cheeseburger compared to the gruel we get served every week.
And this is a better burger than that. This is your fast casual burger. It's not like the best one.
We get Five Guys, man? We up to Five Guys?
Yes, this is a Five Guys burger. It's not, you know, Wagyu beef from the best burger place ever, but it's still really good compared to gruel.
Yeah, exactly. From JJ, whenever a good episode comes along in these dark years, we still seem to compare it negatively to the golden years. All I know is I thoroughly enjoy this from start to finish. Handles its time extremely efficiently. Short intro, immediately into the plot, maintains focus on Bart's story, and it has jokes. Not amazing jokes, but they're recognizable as jokes for once. I don't think an episode requires biting satire. Considering how bad they are at it now, I'd be satisfied with something like this every week that just makes sense and understands the characters. No surprise when Matt Selman's name popped up at the end. The difference in structure and effort compared to Al Jean is very noticeable. Not sure if it's top 100 material, but probably edges out the book job to be the best of the season. That's the other point. This is where Matt Selman as the showrunner, this is when you start like getting that. You're like, oh, Matt Selman is showrunning episodes, and you're like, oh, he maybe understands the show better than Al Jean. And you're like, mm-hmm. And every year you're like, oh, he does definitely understand the show better than Al Jean at this point. Or he just tries harder. I don't know. Finally for Max. I was really looking forward to this episode's review. This is one of my favorite post-Golden Years Bart Does Something Bad episodes. It starts with a great montage of the mundane, showing how bored Bart is. This is very well done. I love how selfless Bart and the family were this episode. When's the last time we actually felt like these characters really loved each other? Even jerk-ass Homer can't ruin it. I'm actually having fun watching this episode. The song Enjoy It While You Are Here is highly enjoyable, and you actually see actual motion in Bart's face when he realizes this is about to end. Pandora's strange prank was so well done, and Bart oblivious to the panic and pain he is causing. It's not mean-spiritedness. He actually thinks he's doing good, and that makes the drama all the more interesting. The ending in Antarctica even worked. The ending reminded me a lot of Golden Years episode. I think this is a demarcation point in The Simpsons. The worst is behind us. Yes, there will be a lot of turds, but there will be more pearls to enjoy between the crappiness and this post-Golden Age Simpsons. I want that to be true. But I've been told that how many times now, Matt, have we gotten people telling me, oh, it's after season 18, I think it picks up.
Yeah.
After season 21, it picks up.
That it's been better than it was. Like, oh, yeah, it was better, right? Right. I'm not going to go back and watch those, but I think it was better.
Hey.
I think it's when we get to like season 28 or 29, because it's not that long. When did we start?
27. 27 is when we started watching new ones for Patreon, Matt. So we watched most of it.
Those first year and a half, 2 years of that, where we're like, oh, these are still pretty bad. And then it started to get a little better, as we pointed out in the Eye Patch Wolf guys video. It's like, that's when it started to be like, you know what? Some of these are not bad. So yeah, we still got a ways to go.
I have hope, but I don't have too much hope is what I would actually say. But that's it for Patreon reviews. Thank you all for comments and news group. Appreciate you. If you support us again, any level on our Patreon, links in the show notes, you get to leave your own. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite quote from The Bullies? Lots of great answers. Lots of great answers. Matt, take it away.
All right, first up from Dara. The bullies see Bart's PJs. Did your mommy buy them for you? Well, of course she did. Who else would have? You win this round, Simpson.
It's an all-timer.
It is. From Zach. Nelson pointing to Bart. My old man can't get a beer because his old man will give a bear to another old man. Let's get him. Jimbo. Wait, why are we getting him? Martin. Look, fellas, the first Snapdragon of the season. Never mind, let's just get him. Martin's always there to take the punch for you.
Yeah.
From Derek. If it's the bullies as a group, then I'm partial to a bit of, hey, dude, he's ragging on your cord. But if I can choose an individual from the bullies, then I love Jimbo's reply to James Woods. I'm me? I say that every time I'm confused. It's almost every 5 minutes. Oh, that's great. From Andy. Jimbo, no matter how dead the relationship seems, all parents eventually commit the heinous act of love. Kearney, mine do it once a year on the magical day when the prison and the insane asylum have their annual mixer. Oh boy. That's from JJ. Shoplifting is a victimless crime, like punching someone in the dark.
That's very good. I love that quote. It's so right. Good.
From Cahal, from the PTA disbands. Bart, Mom, kids are beating me up and taking my lunch money, and I need that money for candy. Oh, here you go, Precious. Bart turns around and sees the bullies. Here you go, Precious. And they continue to beat Bart up. Bart, while getting beat up, why is my mom stopping this? We created a diversion. Marge, that's a very nice jig, Kearney. Now, isn't dancing much more fun than bullying? Yeah. Gets me every time. Next up from Aaron. Nice PJs, Simpson. Did your mommy buy them for you? We got a lot of votes for that one because it's great. From Apprehensive Drag 84. I said ha-ha from Nelson, although I consider him a bully adjacent. Every single time I watch that episode and he does that little line, I literally laugh out loud. We all do. We all do. From Iron Sheik 84. You kissed a girl. That is so gay. Also, hey, Dolph, take a memo on your Newton. Beat up Martin. And the Newton interprets this as eat up Martha. Poor Newtons. They got a bad there for their time.
Matt, just because the technology is the first version of it doesn't make it good.
I mean, it was a good idea. Poor execution.
Was the virtual boy good?
Yeah, that's basically a meta quest way back when. It was a good idea. As a product, they sucked, but they were a good idea.
Did you ever use a virtual boy, Matt? Did you ever actually try
to
play?
I did, actually. My mom dropped me off in Sears so I could play virtual boy games while she shopped.
Like, it feels like you're losing your mind. I went back and found, like, I played a vintage as an adult. I looked through a virtual boy and played for like 10 seconds. I don't know how any child spent any amount of time. It's just red. It is. You feel like you're losing your mind. You're like, everything is just red. You're like, what is going on? Why is it red? You're like, it's crazy.
Apparently there's a browser version of a virtual boy.
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. From Real Insanity, Nelson Muntz talking to a group of kids. The thing about huckleberries is, once you've had fresh, you'll never go back to canned. Skinner starts to walk by. So anyway, I kicked the guy's ass. Skinner walks off again. Now, if the berries are too tart, I just dust them with confectioner's sugar. I don't know if I've ever had huckleberries, but this really makes me want the damn things.
Then I just go buy strawberries, guys. Like, I don't know what the... Oh. It's fine.
From Specialist Resolve 42, I love the catchphrase, haha, it's the best. Very true. And finally, from Andrew Bloom, friend of the show, Jimbo Jones gazing wondrously at a pole's worth of aluminum foil, declaring, whoa, it's a living mirror. Cool hat. His own reflection. Robbie, what is yours?
It's very hard to beat.
It really is.
You kissed a girl that is so gay. I feel like I've used that answer before because it is the answer that it's so emblematic of being a contrarian idiot teenage boy where everything you like, if the thing you don't like, you're like it. There was the time period where like, if you are a teenage boy, if something you didn't like it, then it was gay. Like it's so like, it was a scourge. And like, it's not, I'm sure there's still people doing that today. Just using the word gay as like a pejorative, but so accurate to that, like that dumb teenage boy perspective. You kissed a, even when it's obvious, like you kissed a girl. It's not gay, but no, it's so good. Matt, what's your answer?
So my answer is from She of Little Faith. Actually, it's like, I'll tell you someone who cares. He's got long hair, works as a carpenter, has a lot of crazy ideas about love and brotherhood. His name's Gunner, and he's dating my mom. Sometimes he buys his beer. I don't know why, but that kills me every time.
It's funny. It's funny. Is it funny? You know, we get the good. It's a good subversion. It's a good that, you know, is he talking about? Oh, no. He's talking about Gunner. Next week's question. What's your favorite quote from a travel episode? There's lots of them and lots of good ones. How many knifey spoonies are we going to get? That's my real. The real question, Matt, is how many knifey spoonies do we get? America. Australia. America. Australia. We don't put up with that kind of crap.
U.S. Marine Corps, sir.
Very good. I'll post this question on our Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow, publicly. Everyone can see it. I post it on our subreddit, which is r/TheSimpsonsShow. Also linked in the show notes. Both these, all the stuff is in the show notes. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenges, where Matt and I each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard, and try and stump the other. So far this season, I have a lead. I have a 5-point lead.
Ugh.
With four, yeah, this is four episodes to go, Matt. We're in the final countdown. Ba-do-do-do. And I just need to, I was, last week was it was a dangerous proposition, but I pulled through with a hard question. My Frank Grimes knowledge pulled me through. That was your real mistake, Matt. Ask me any question relating to Frank Grimes.
I know. I really thought, I was like, oh man, it's Frank Grimes, so he might get it, but he might not because it's a tough question. But apparently. All right.
Are you ready for an easy question, Matthew?
I am ready.
In one of our favorite episodes, in Codependence Day, Homer frames who for a DUI?
Marge.
Yes. I love. You're like.
I hate that episode so much. All right. Your easy question.
Mm-hmm.
In The Computer Who Wore Menace Shoes, what is the blogging name Homer picks for himself?
Mr. X.
You are correct.
If you're going to ask me questions about The Prisoner, Matt, I can't be upset about that. Your medium question. In Codependence Day, what is the name of the Cosmic Wars movie that Bart and Lisa go see?
Oh, God. The Return of Jim Jam? That's all I got. What?
I was taking a drink when you said that, man. I almost spit out my drink. No, it is not. That's very funny. I think that's funnier than what they used. But they said it's not as correct. The correct answer is Cosmic Wars, The Gathering Shadow.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's a prequel joke.
All right. Your medium question, in The Computer Who Wore Menace Shoes, how much does the computer that Homer buys cost?
Oh, boy.
It's the same computer astronauts use to do their taxes.
That's a good joke, Matt. That's a good joke. See, that episode is good. I know you hate that I pushed it so high on the list, but I think that episode's very funny. $2,500.
is $5,000.
Okay, I was halfway there. $5,000. Yeah,
can you imagine a computer costing $5,000 today? Lord.
I mean, Matt, are you giving me five grand?
Price of video cards these days, yes.
I was going to say, like, if you give me $5,000, I'll get a computer that costs $5,000. It won't be that hard. Monitors will be $1,000 alone or more. Jeez. Can I get three $500 monitors? That's what I would do if I had my druthers.
$500? You're sitting your sights low, son. Don't you want two ultrawide stacked on top of each other?
No, I don't. I don't want an ultrawide monitor. I like normal. Okay, whatever. Now we're not going to talk about PCs. What's my medium question, man?
That was your medium question.
Oh, that was my medium question. No, wait. What are we doing? You asked me a question.
You're asking me a hard question.
We're on hard questions now. Okay. Your hard question, Matt. Which recognizable characters are in rehab with Marge?
Okay. I'm going to go with Krusty, Lindsay Nagel, Kent Brockman. How many are there?
There are three.
Three. I'll go with those three. I doubt that is correct, but I'll go with those three.
Give me those three again.
Krusty, Kent Brockman, and Lindsay Nagel.
You were incorrect on all three.
Oh, man.
It is Sea Captain, Otto, and Edna.
I mean, Edna makes sense, but like, Otto, maybe.
That episode's so terrible. It's hard to pick out anything making sense in it, but I feel like in that what they call rehab is rehab for all addicts, so it's not just drinking.
Right. I don't know what the sea captain is there for.
He's addicted to the sea.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. What's my hard question?
Your hard question. What is the name of everyone of the race living under Denver, according to Homer?
The Morlocks?
I'm sorry, they're all named Mortensen.
What?
They're all named Morton. Ooh. No, Mortensen.
What? What is I okay? I don't remember that. I don't. Is that a joke? Is that supposed to be?
That is a joke in the episode.
Okay,
yes.
It's strange. I mean,
wonder why I roll my eyes at that damn episode.
It's a very weird. Maybe that's why I like it, Matt. It's very weird. I don't mind that. I don't mind when episodes really strange, as long as it's like more strange than nonsense. Like I don't know. I think there's like a weird line where it can be very strange and still make sense. And also, Mr. X is, I think, he doesn't. The whole idea is that he doesn't make sense sometimes. Like, he's just making crap up. Well, we both got 1 point today. I still have a 5-point lead on Matt. Because all that matters, really, is that I beat Matt.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters at this point. Anything. I'll do anything. Two seasons in a row, Matt. I've never done it before, okay? I need a back-to-back. Jordan, 96-97. That's it for trivia. We can move on to our last segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a tricky one. I don't know what to do with this.
We've been in this desert of good episodes for a long time. So the instinct is to put it really high. But then I start looking at some of these other episodes to compare it to, and I'm like, that's better, that's better, that's better, that's better. Like, I mean...
Yeah, it's...
I started at 100 and worked my way down from there, and I'm just seeing so many episodes that are still miles better than this.
I don't know about miles, Matt. Let's not go crazy, okay? I would say we start... I think it is easily better... Book Job is our highest season 23 episode, correct?
It's definitely better than that.
It is better than the Book Job. Book Job is well put together, and it's fun and funny. It doesn't have a character story in it, really. This does, and I think for us, that's immediately going to put it higher. I think in all other ways, they're roughly the same quality, but because this has a character story, and I think it's well executed, I think it's better than the Book Job. There's a streetcar named Marge is 97. I think this is not as good as that. Like it's that. I think it's that where you're like you're right. You look at these episodes, and you're like, nah, it's just not as good.
I mean, I'm gonna point out, Robbie, 112 is Separate Vocations.
And, I know. I love Separate Vocations, and this is not as good as Separate Vocations.
No, it's not. I was actually looking at like down here with like Grift of the Magi kind of thing, some season 11 episodes, like the best season 11 episodes, and I was like, okay, now we're getting closer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Brother's Little Helper is 120. I think this is better than Brother's Little Helper.
that's kind of what I was looking at, that and Girly Edition. I'm
this,
like, yeah,
this is better than Girly Edition too. I think this is better than like these kind of, you know, the.
I don't know if I can put it above Whacking Day though. Whacking Day has a special place in my heart.
Matt, I think this is better than Whacking Day.
You think so? Bart's, you know, journey of getting kicked out of every school and being homeschooled by Marge and learning something really important, and him working with Lisa to save the snakes when he realizes it's Whacking Day's hogwash.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to ask you a question. This is a serious question, okay? This is not me playing around. How many times have you seen Whacking Day?
Oh, God.
I don't need an exact number. How many times?
At least 10.
You've seen Whacking Day more than 10 times, Matt.
I don't know.
I've seen Whacking Day probably 50 times. I've seen all the Golden Era episodes. I mean, Matt, I like literally every day after school for like 5 years of my life, from like in middle school and high school, I would come home and watch 4 or 5 episodes of The Simpsons every day. Right. And like, and some days, you know, I do marathons where I'd watch every episode of the Golden Years once through. I've seen Whacking Day, you know, I could probably quote most of those episodes front to back mostly. And how many times have you seen Whacking Day versus how many times have you seen this episode?
I mean, it's at least 10 to 1.
Exactly. And I think there's an element of nostalgia in it where you have these
there
warm
is,
feelings.
But I just feel like the jokes in Whacking Day are funnier.
I don't disagree. I think Whacking Day is a funnier episode. Whacking Day doesn't really have character arc, though. Like, it's just
character arc. It has Lisa's character arc.
What's their character arc, man? They don't want to kill snakes.
Bart's character arc is Bart is continually getting kicked out of schools until Marge starts to homeschool him, and then he realizes,
education can be
fun.
That's the B plot. That's the B plot, isn't
That's
it?
That's the A plot. Hey, you sure? That is most of the episode.
Because the episode's not, you know, the episode's about whack, quote unquote, whacking,
Whacking
about
Whacking,
Whacking
Day.
Day
happens entirely in the background until the very end of the episode when Lisa has a problem with it and Bart realizes that, hey, this Whacking Day thing is crap. It's fake.
I don't disagree with you, Matt. I think Whacking Day is funnier for sure. I'm not going to disagree there. I don't know. It's a tricky thing because I feel like Bart's character arc in this is really good, and I think it's a little bit more a deeper theme, I think, which is connects to me than Whacking Day, you know, where it's just Bart like learning to behave or like learning that. I mean, really, he's learning that learning can be good, can be fun, like because I like it's Johnny Tremaine, right? He's like, oh, this is the opposite
of this episode where Bart has to learn that regular life can be fun too. Whereas the other one's like, learning can be fun. And he's like, Bart says that, fun doesn't happen in a regular life. So you have to enjoy it while you can.
That's a good point. That's fun. I like that there's a synchronicity there. I'm not saying I'm necessarily putting it higher, Matt. I just think it's close. I think it's closer than we acknowledge.
Two above that is Bart the Murderer. And there's no way this is better than Bart the Murderer. Not going to happen.
I agree.
I do think it's better than Griff of the Magi.
I think it is better than Grift of the Magi. I agree it's not better than Bart the Murderer. Days of Wine and Doses. Do you think it's better than Days of Wine and Doses, Matt?
You asked me more on an artifact of recency bias. I do think it is better than Days of Wine and Doses. So we might have to put it up there just below Bart the Murderer. And Whacking Day is going to be a victim.
A victim?
Our capriciousness.
I don't know. I feel like Days of Wine... We put Days of Wine and Doses that high, I think, because we put it in a vacuum. It's very easy to look at that episode and because they've backtracked on Barney so many times, like he's drinking or not drinking depending on the episode, depending on what they think is funniest, right? They don't care, you know, they just make it a joke, which I really don't like, but I don't count that against that episode. I wouldn't put it higher than Days of Wine and Doses. I think Days of Wine and Doses is right there with... I think our ranking is pretty good. I think Days of Wine and Doses is a lot better than people acknowledge. And I think Whacking Day is not as quite as good as people want to acknowledge. And I would put both, I think, above this episode. I think this is right below Whacking Day and right above Griff of the Magi. I think that's where I put it.
I'm good with that.
Okay. It's definitely our number one season 23 episode. Doesn't quite crack the top 100. That's not a bad thing, though. I think that's a really high episode. We haven't had an episode this high in quite some time. And I think it's, I think when we call this, I think we're like, I said, I think this is a good episode, not a great one. I think this ranking reflects that, where it has some problems and it's not perfect, but it's a lot better than a lot of stuff we've been dealing with lately. So that's number 119 on the list, which is, I mean, how long has it been since we even said a one with a one in front of it? God almighty. Gotta scroll all the way back up to where I was. Number 119, a totally fun thing Bart will never do again, right below Whacking Day, right above Grift of the Magi, season 23. That puts it on number, that is really good, Matt, because that puts it in number 8 on the post-Golden Years ranking.
That is dang high.
That's pretty high. Like, that's post-Golden Years, this is the 8th best episode of all the post-Golden, I mean, and I largely agree, because God almighty, lately, the episodes have been so bad. Number 1 on the list is still Homer's Enemy. Last place is still Matt's favorite episode, Code of Ends Day.
Of course you would ask trivia questions about that god-awful Drek.
I searched Cruise on the Frankie Act, Matt. That's what I searched Cruise, and it brought up one of the top choices was that episode. That's why I picked it. We are not done. We have one more thing to do. One more question to answer. That question is, do we shoot this episode out of the cannon?
The cannon!
It stays.
Absolutely
yeah.
not. It definitely stays.
No, it stays. It's a good week. This is an interesting question, an interesting episode to talk about in the canon because of the fact it's pretty good. So in years which are really bad lately, it's really interesting to like. That's one of the questions. It's more than just even the episode in that regard. It's about like, why is this episode good when they can't really tell character stories very much anymore. You know, you're like, whoa. And then you get to talk about all the things it does. It's fun. We're not done though. We have one more episode. That episode, we are down at 180 on the list, Matt, which is Wild Barts Can't Be Broken.
That one is a little bit weird. I don't think there's really a good reason to kick it out. But it's just a very weird episode overall.
It is a little strange, and I think it's uneven. And it's, you know, I think it is a very typical Scully year episode where it's a little crazy, like it's just madcap. And that's, I don't know, I've appreciate that more as time goes by and we watch more of these terrible Al Jean episodes. So. It stays. I think that's ultimately what it is. There's no reason to not have it in there. And I think as a part of the canon, it becomes like, oh, it's a kind of a weird, madcap, fun Scullier episode. So that is Wild Barts Can't Be Broken. It stays. It's a good week, Matt, whenever we have two yeses on the canon. We don't have to fire the canon at all this week.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Well, it's a good. We'll see. I know we're. I don't know. What can the streak go to 2, Matt? Can the streak go to 2?
Unlikely.
Unlikely is hey, Bryan Cranston is guest starring in next week's episode.
That's great.
Bryan Cranston.
He's going to be good.
Bryan Cranston, great actor. Great actor. That's not debatable. Bryan Cranston is a great actor. Is this episode going to be good? I don't know. It's called The Spy Who Learned Me. Homer takes Marge to an action film featuring a legendary fictional spy named Stradivarius Kane, which is played by Bryan Cranston. And I'm trying to like get Homer is tutored by an imaginary Stradivarius Kane.
Interesting.
Like it's like the Roofer episode, except not. Well, it's like that where Homer's like seeing somebody that's not there or is there, but isn't there. And like has to, and is like, he sees a spy after he has a head injury is effectively what happens with Homer. I don't have high expectations.
I do not either. Despite the Bryan Cranston.
Declan Desmond appears in this as well. We have a Declan Desmond. Eric Idle comes back with another, like, it's a Super Size Me faux documentary, apparently, about Krusty Burger. Is it a B plot, maybe? That's maybe okay. I don't know, Matt. I think just we watch a good episode and I go, oh, maybe next week won't be bad. And then I'm let down.
They're always let down.
Always let down. That's next week. You can follow along with us if you'd like. Links on our website, thesimpsonsshow.com, all that stuff. I'm Robbie Dorman. I am Dorman with 1-0, Dorman. My new book comes out very soon. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be 2 weeks, basically. This book is cursed. Got all my early reviews really good. I'm really, very happy to hear people are really enjoying it so far in the ARC reviews. But go please pre-order it. You can still get your pre-orders in. They really help me out. Early orders and early reviews really do me a great service, and help me out as an independent author. And if you like The Twilight Zone, if you like Choose Your Own Adventure stories, if you like Cursed Objects stories, if you like SCP Foundation, all that kind of stuff, you will like this book. It is for you. Go pre-order it. I think it's a great introduction to my stuff as well. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That is correct. I spend all of my time taking care of kittens and, you know, occasionally neighborhood cats. If you want to see past kittens, because I don't currently have any, you can check out Kitten Turns on Instagram. KITTINTERNS, and just see the absolute cutest things you'll ever see in your life. They have healed many souls. They might heal yours as well.
That'll do it for us today. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.